From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Amen. Amen. Are you excited to be tuning in tonight? It's Tuesday. We want to have a very brief but powerful Bible lesson. So I want you to just stand wherever you are. Let's share a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just pray that God will speak to you today. Pray that God will speak to you this evening as you watch in the comfort of your home. Pray that God will speak to you. Kabos ke brindes. Reka baraba. Shika tabaraba ndoromo ke brindes. Raka tabarama ke brindere. Ke barandoromo. Pray that the word coming to you tonight will be special. It will be for you and for you only. And that you will rise up to the occasion. You will rise up to the word that is coming to you. Pray. Kabos ke brinde. Raka tabarama kabrasa tabaraba kabrandara. Rike bereme shike berende me kerie be kabrasa tabarababa. Ramalolo, Sikeberia Macabra Babanda, Ramandereme, Bendereme, Keberia Barabasata, Rakatata Barin, Deremeke, Baraba Sutaraba Kebrindere, Rikebe Masita Makaya Barabasuke Brunduru, Rakatata Barabandereme, Kabasata Barababa, Andereme, Kebereme, Shite Bereme, Kabrundare Ababa, Rasatata Baraba Cabrababa. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. Stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow down. Lord, we bow and worship you. Awesome God, awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. Let's sing it for the last time. Awesome God, awesome God, awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, you are God, mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Oh Lord, we bow, Lord, we bow. Father, thank you for this afternoon. We want to thank you for the opportunity to be gathered wherever we are, to be connected to the shepherd that you have placed over this ministry. I pray that you speak to us today, you affect our lives, and that will not be the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Wonderful. You may be seated. If you are seated also, that's also fine. I want us to turn our Bibles to Obadiah chapter 1, and I want to read from there. Obadiah, right? I mean, these days, you just have to look for it. You don't have to flip the pages of your hard copy Bible, right? It's good, but it's making many of you lazy. This is a vision of Obadiah. Excuse me. Thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. He said, let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. And said in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? This is just a lesson for, you know, those who are proud and those who feel that, you know, nothing can happen to them, nothing can, you know, break them down or anything. This is a prophecy concerning people like that. The Bible says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy necks among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? Excuse me. If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Verse 8. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed. To the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. Did you hear that? So this is a vision and a prophecy by Obadiah. And he's saying, according to what he's saying, it's a prophecy against Edom. Edom is the descendant of Esau. Do you understand? Edom is the descendant of Esau. So there's a prophecy against Esau because the Bible says it clearly here in verse 10 of Obadiah chapter 1, that for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee and thou shalt be cut off forever. Wow. It's very dangerous to, you know, touch what God has blessed. Bible says, touch not my prophets. Or what does it say? Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Verse 11 says, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in a crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. So it's like Esau and the Edomites really did something bad to Israel and to Jacob when he was actually in trouble. Do you get it? And it goes on and on and on and on and on. But in verse 21, there is still hope. Somebody says there's still hope. Well, now in this season of the COVID-19 and the coronavirus, there's hope. There's hope. If you are sitting down at home listening to me this evening and you are hopeless, I ask the Lord to give you hope in your heart right now. There is hope. I mean, some places are not, some people are not working. People have, cut down staff. Those of you who probably are working for individuals who don't have any proper employment packages in place, you know, maybe you are home, you're wondering what you eat, but I said there is hope. Now listen to what Obadiah said at the end of it. In verse 21, the Bible says, Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. It looks as if anytime there is darkness, anytime there's a lot of trouble, a lot of problems and challenges, somehow God comes through at the end of the day. That is why we say that there will be light at the end of the tunnel. How many have heard something like that before? Yes, light. After the rain, the sun will shine. There's always hope after calamities and challenges. So it's not going to be different this time. The only time that is going to be different is when Jesus comes. But even that, me and I don't know how many of you, but I'll be up. I'll be gone. Okay, I'll be gone. And then it is those who remain. They are the ones that the Antichrist are going to be dealing with. And then even in that, it gets to a point where Christ will descend and come back with us. I'll be dressed very nicely on my white horse and will come and save those of you who wouldn't be able to go with us the first time. But that will be not your story. That will not be your story. You are coming with us for the first time. Amen. So there's always hope when there seems to be a lot of problems and calamity. Now, I just want to bring your mind a bit to the Christian calendar of our season. The Christian calendar. All right? My message is just make yourself saviors of men. Make yourself saviors of men. Very, very simple Bible study lesson for this Tuesday evening. Okay? You see, we are Christians and we follow the things of God. So things like Christmas is very, very important to us. Things like Easter, very, very important to us. For me, it's a shame that Ascension is only used in kite flying. Ascension, on Ascension Day, I think maybe in the future, we're going to have service on Ascension Day. Ascension Day, we should have church service to celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is all part of what the package that brought the Son of God into this world. And then the day of Pentecost also, where the Holy Ghost descended upon the Christians in the early church. It's also another time that we should be very, very, very excited about, and we should celebrate. You know, but if we look at today, I mean, Easter was just a few days ago, Good Friday. We celebrated Good Friday, isn't it? We celebrated it like, you know, Jesus died on the cross. In fact, the Jews, they celebrate Passover, which was actually the original festival or season or event that the Jews will normally celebrate. Passover, that is when they left Egypt to go to Canaan. And so the Passover is it happened, and then Easter came. And so after Easter was what? Good Friday, Jesus died. Saturday, he was still in the grave. Sunday, he rose from the dead. And then Monday, today is Tuesday. You cast your mind back into the days of the disciples. So here you have Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Andrew, and all those wonderful great fathers of the faith. They walk with Jesus for three and a half years. And then all of a sudden, the one who used to walk with them, the one who used to, you know, take care of them, the one who used to make sure that everything is okay with them, the one who taught them a lot about the kingdom, spoke to them about the love for God and the kingdom of God, and all the things that Jesus taught them. After 3.5 years, now finally, he was arrested. They were there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas came with a high priest and his people to kind of, hijack Jesus. That was when Peter was trying to, you know, prevent the people from taking Jesus away. So in the course of that, I mean, many of them scattered. Bible says you strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. You know, so all of that happened, all of that took place. And then they saw Jesus being carried away. He was taken to Pilate's palace and all the things that went on. He was led to the cross to be crucified, and he died. He died. John was there. The ladies were there. Joseph of Arimathea came for his body. They gave his body to Joseph. He put Jesus' body in the tomb. Isn't it? I'm sure from Sunday school you remember all these things. And so he was laid in the tomb. The ladies went Sunday morning to go and try and continue the embalming of him and, you know, put some spices on his body so that the body is preserved and all of that. You know, they're thinking that, you know, Jesus was going to be there forever. When he got there, the tomb was empty. And then the rest of the story we know. Jesus rose from the dead because his body wasn't there. The napkin or the cloth that they used to wrap him, it was left there. And that became some ornament, some precious souvenir in the early days. I don't know where it is now, but, you know, from what we know, they said that, you know, Jesus' face was wiped when he was on the cross, and then the image or the photo of his face came in that cloth, something like that. I don't know if it was the same, but this was something different. Joseph definitely made sure that what they were burying him with was quality, it was clean, and all of that. Now, so if you look back 2,000 years ago, today is Tuesday, so Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. That's what I want to bring your mind to. The Christian turn of events in the day or in the times of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what do you think the disciples were doing now? The Bible says that after the resurrection, they were together. In the book of Acts, they were all together in one place. If you go to Acts chapter 1, are you following? I hope you are following. I'm coming to something. Acts chapter 1. Bible says, Acts chapter 1, are you there? Verse 13 says, Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with a woman, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So this is what happened. After Jesus rose from the dead, he told Mary to go and tell his brothers to meet him on the Mount of Olives. They met him. He spoke to them and all of that. And then they came back to Jerusalem. And they came back. I think this is when, he actually left. It was like after 40 days later. But, you know, the events after the resurrection of Jesus was more of prayer. They were gathered. They were praying. I mean, a few days after, they were afraid because the rumors had gone around that the disciples had come for the body of Jesus Christ, which wasn't so. I mean, we all know that it wasn't so. Now, what happened after that was that they gathered themselves and they began to pray because Jesus told them not to leave. So there was a commandment that was issued for them to stay in Jerusalem for the promise. Now, the promise came for them to be able to do something. And that's what I want to bring your mind to this Tuesday evening. Now, in the midst of all that is going on, like Obadiah prophesied, all the deadly things, all the things that was going to happen to Edom, to Esau, for what he did to his brother Jacob and what he actually, how he behaved and how he celebrated when his brother was in trouble and all the things that were coming on him. The Bible says that there shall be saviors of men. Saviors shall appear. You know, so this is a time where Christians, you and I want to encourage you. I want to really speak to you about becoming a savior of men. You see, most of you have time. Right now, many of you have time. It's very fantastic. I was saying that gone are the days where when you are home all day, they'll tell you you're a lazy person. Now, if you're home all day, it's like you are smart, you are wiser, you are being careful, you are trying to avoid COVID-19, you are listening to all the advice of the government and all of that. Once upon a time, a few weeks or a few months ago, if you are home sleeping and eating and not even talking to anybody or not coming out, people say you are antisocial, you are this, you are that. There were negative things about it. You know, so many of us have time now, and I want us to really fix our minds on what Jesus came to cause us to do. Now, it's very, very interesting because when Jesus died and rose again, And then he said that if anybody who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You think about it. If we, I think it's better to give your life to Christ and die the next day. I think it's better. I don't think it is right at all to give your life to Christ and then wait 20 years, 30 years. I mean, just today, and I think a day or so ago, I got, you know, interacting with my church members. You can see how some people staying home is causing the mind to the mind and the flesh to desire for some cuddling. You know what I'm talking about? Aha. It's like staying at home because now it's like there's not much to do. You are not doing much. And you are young and blood is flowing through you. That blood should protect you from COVID-19. It's not supposed to be. It used to be desiring. And you know, but that is what is happening. There's so much time that as you are home, you are studying man. You know, no, as for man, we got to go into it before we finish the preaching. You know, if you don't go into man and woman, we don't finish these things. As you're home, you're lying down, doing nothing. You're imagining. If James Bond was around, I mean, you will be at home. And in fact, this quarantine, or some people call it quarantine, it sounds like quarantine in East Babies. It's quarantine. Some people want to be quarantined with their partners. I think it was Pastor Calvin who forwarded something to me the other day. It's a cartoon of a man and a woman lying on a bed in the middle of the night. And then the man, you know, all of a sudden tells the wife, sweetie, I'm feeling very hot. Then the wife responds to the husband, well, tomorrow you need to go and check, you need to go and get tested for coronavirus. So it's like, now, if you are hot, your temperature is hot, it means... It doesn't mean that you understand what I'm talking about. It means something else. Well, it's too fantastic. But we have time, isn't it? Don't we have time? We have time. Many of your friends, many of your family, many of your colleagues are at home. Most people are doing nothing. If you drive on the road, if you drive around, I was you know, driving around a bit today. You see that it's like nobody has told anybody not to come out. But many people are staying home, which is very, very good. But this is a time for salvation. I said, this is a time for salvation. Turn to your neighbor, your colleague, or your friend who's watching with you. This is time for salvation. God is looking for saviors. Saviors. You see, for this COVID-19 season and situation to become even positive hereafter, people have to look back and say, you know what? It was in that season that I even thought about God. It was in that season that somebody spoke to me about God. It was in that season that I even gave my life to Christ. You and I are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. God is depending on us in this time and in this season to really reach out. To really, really reach out. It's very, very, very important because anybody's last words must be very, very critical. I remember I'm reading a book about idolatry, and the author was talking about how Joshua, his last sayings, I think Joshua chapter 24, that is where he spoke to the Israelites about one main thing, and it's about idol worship. You know, so the author, instead, as he's talking about idolatry, he's bringing in the last words of Joshua. And Joshua's last words were about the Israelites staying focused. And that's when he said, choose ye this day whom you serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a very serious address to the whole of the Jewish nation, that God Almighty is the God they have to serve. So if Joshua's last words are so critical, and it's true because the Bible says the first two commandments are very, very critical. I mean, if you're going to look at something that is number one and something that is number two, Jesus said, love the Lord your God and then your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of the commandments. Love the Lord your God. The Ten Commandments says for the first, thou shalt serve no other gods before me. And Joshua re-echoed that statement in Joshua chapter 24. So if Joshua was so critical and emphasized the important thing of God in his last days to the Jewish nation, then let's look at Jesus' last words also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, if you are there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." So this is it. This is the last words of Jesus Christ. He said, "Go ye into all the world." And so Jesus' last words are very, very important. It's very, very critical to you and I. And his last words has been his last words then, and it's still his last words now. You know, so many of us are just idle. Many of us don't do anything when it comes to soul winning and all of that. This is a good opportunity. This is a good time to do something in the salvation of souls. Why are we around? Why are we here? Why are we alive? Why are we still around? I mean, you see, this season, I'm trying to keep you warm. I'm trying to keep your faith alive and all of that. But what is it for? What is it really for? I mean, you're to be warm and to be kept alive and to still believe in God. And so what? You need to give it back to somebody. You see, and that's what basically is even happening at this time. I've seen that some people are donating things. Have you seen people donating things in this time? People are giving money. People are donating this. People are donating that. People are donating that. In times of crisis, everybody wants to make, you know, everybody wants to, you know, be important, make a difference, make an impact. We may not have so much of these humanitarian things to give. I saw some people are even giving ambulance. Some people are even giving buses and ambulance and all of that. You get it. But what are we supposed to do as Christians? What we have is what we must give. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter was telling the man who was lame that, you know, I don't have all the things that you are sitting down here looking for. We don't have as a church. I mean, if you look at it as a church, it's not a very simple thing to step in at this time. People are not going to church. You get it? Unless you really have savings. Like I was saying the other day in church, unless you really, really have savings, you understand? And that the church has savings, they have a lot of money, and then they want to give it away or something. It's not a very, very simple thing to be generous at this time. There are great churches, there are big churches who may have some, you know, reserves and all of that, who can do much. But if you're a church that you are not so big and all of that, it's not very easy to make such a difference in this time. So you see that companies, even Guyana Oil has reduced gas prices. People are saying this, people are saying that. GTNG says, we'll give you seven days grace period so that, you know, we don't your bill, you have 7 days more. Everybody is trying to make an impact, make a difference at this time. What are you doing? It's not a sanitizer season. It is not soap season. It's not buying soaps. I mean, if you buy sanitizer, what is sanitizer going to do for people? It will just clean their hands? And then what? What about their lives? What about their hearts? There is something that I know that is more stronger and powerful than a sanitizer. I said, there's something that I know of that is more stronger and more cleansing than bleach, more cleansing than chloris, more cleansing than Lysol, more cleansing than anything. There's something that I know that is able to protect you and protect to guard you from all the respiratory diseases that are around. There's something that I know through God that is able to save you and to save you and keep you well. And the Bible says that it is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what is important to people now. People's sins must be washed away. Not just their hands. Not just their clothes. Not just their bodies. The sins of people is one of the most important things you want it to be washed away. And you and I as members and Christians, Shepherd House International, we need to rise up. We need to rise up at this time. This is a time to, you know, say a word to somebody. I have one of my pastors who's doing dumb broadcast these days. Yeah. A young lady. She's doing dumb broadcast every morning. She goes somewhere in town and then she preaches. What are you going to do? She told me that it was yesterday or this morning, a young man came out of his house and came to talk to her. After she had finished preaching, Yama was asking her questions. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden, somebody is interested in you. You are not giving them anything. You are not giving them any money. You are not giving them any food. People are going around sharing food. But giving Jesus, just the fact that this young lady is giving Jesus, the guy left his house early in the morning to come and talk to her. Only God knows the impact of the preaching that this young lady is doing or is preaching in this neighborhood. What is your plan? My dear, what is your plan? You have been in this church for too long. You have been in this church for a long time. What are you doing, especially in this season? We don't want masks from you. The world doesn't need masks from you. Those who supply masks, they are there. I mean, a church should not be supplying masks. Where are we going to make the mask from? Kitchen towel. You can teach people how to make masks. But that is not what we are supposed to be doing now. Obadiah said it. Saviors. Saviors. I want you to make yourself a savior in this season. And I want to throw a challenge to you. People are throwing challenges, isn't it? As people are idle, they're throwing challenges all over. Did you see this makeup thing they do? They have this brush, and then they do da da da, and then they dress up. And they do. I mean, idleness is what? Idleness. Now what they do is that the people do challenge. They do, there's some calculation, mathematics, some two ducks and a bread is equal to 10. And then a boy and two girls, and they say, what is the answer? And then people say, I want it. The next challenge is this person. People are idle. And I'm sure some of you sit on Facebook all day because supposedly nobody can go anywhere. But you can make a call. You can go somewhere. You can make a call. You can do something. You can do something. Let us become saviors in this time and in this season, in this nation. All right, so God bless you. I hope that I will hear from you tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, that you went somewhere to preach, that you went to a neighborhood to preach. There's so many pulpits out there. You can go somewhere and you can preach to somebody. Go somewhere, preach somewhere. So I want to encourage you, I want to provoke you that you rise up and become a savior. Somebody might die who is close to you. Somebody might die who you know that you have not spoken to about the Lord. This is your time. This is your moment. This is your season. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to show you where to go. Show you who to speak to. There are so many people around. Sometimes, you know, you may be a little confused if you don't speak to the right person. If you don't speak to the right person or the person who the Lord is directing you to, it can easily backfire. And then sometimes, the lack of response, positive response may discourage you from going forward. So pray right now in your room, your living room, or your veranda, wherever you are watching, your car, your phone. Wherever you're watching this service from, just pray. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will guide you. And that the Lord will point the people that you should go to and talk to about Him. Pray. Just for a few seconds, pray. Bakataya bara makabra sandara makabara baba reke boro moshite bere me kabara bandere reke bere me mesindere me kabara basindara baba reke tere me kara basita bara make brindis rakata bara makabandara makabara baba saviors of men, oh God, saviors of our neighborhood, saviors of our vicinity. Lord, cause us to rise up early in the morning and go out there and preach into the open air, oh God. Let somebody sleeping, somebody in their room, somebody in their homes be saved. Turn us into saviors of men and women in this country, in this nation, wherever we may find ourselves, oh God. Lord, above all, I pray that you guide us to the right people, guide us to the ripened harvest, oh God.
Like berende mene me sete mene me kabranda. Rika baba ba setele me ke brende me keria ba kabra baba. Rama sete beria baba ba. Remana ma setele bere bere. Makabara ba satara baba. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, I believe in you and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, all the world will sing, you are God, you are God. Jesus, I, Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see you are God, you are God. Jesus, I, Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, all the world will sing, you are God, you are God. Jesus, I, Jesus, I, lifting up your hands, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, all the world will see, you are God, you are God.
And let us be quiet in the presence of the Lord. I believe the Holy Ghost is impressing on some of you, impressing on your heart, about a colleague, about a friend, about a neighbor, a family member who you need to reach out to. So all you have to do is just sow seeds. Like we said, the sower went out to sow. Just go out and sow. Go out and sow. Go out and sow. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. This morning we're praying about boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit. You have the boldness. Go out there and sow. God is depending on you, the Bible says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's waiting for a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? I'm sending you today. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So I believe the Lord is speaking to you. Somebody who needs Jesus. Your eyes closed, your head bowed. Just open your ears, your spiritual ears to the voice of the Spirit. You have your phone. You have Facebook. You have Twitter. You have internet. You have Instagram. There are so many tools available to us. From the comfort of your home, you can reach out to somebody. Father, thank you for the names you've given. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Kabros Keberenes. Rakatabaraba. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, the Holy Spirit is giving names. He's giving out names. Kebrendereme Kabaraba Sandas. Rekabaraba Sandaras. Somebody's name has dropped in your mind. Ah, you've been wondering, you've been thinking about this person for a while. The Lord is bringing that name back to you. Make yourself a savior of that person. Jesus,
Mandere me kabrasatayanaba. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe you are watching, you're not saved. You want to give your heart to Jesus. I want to pray with you also. Maybe you join a friend, you join a neighbor to watch this short service. I want to pray with you. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. Jesus is my Lord. I believe Jesus was buried and he rose again on the third day. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and make my heart his home. From today, I believe by this prayer, I'm born again. My life has changed. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you've prayed this prayer, you know, the friend, the family member who asked you to watch this service with them, they know where we meet and all of that, you know, at appropriate times and things, we'll all come together again. But for now, wherever you meet, there are some places in the localities where you can go and have service every Sunday now. As we go along, we'll introduce a few more things. All right, so God bless you. Find a Bible, read your Bible for every day, so that you grow in the Lord. All right? And if you want to give an offering, wherever you are, you can give an offering, you know. We have our MMG number, 627-3736. 627-3736. You can send your offering there. But remember our account number, Lighthouse Chapel International, Scotia Bank, 272020. Or you can, you know, you can leave an offering with any of the leaders of the hubs. You know, you want to give an offering, you want to call and pledge, put an offering in an envelope. So that Thursday, we're going to meet Thursday again. You know, that Thursday, if you're going for meeting or we are meeting again, you can drop the offering, all right? We are giving offerings all the time. Okay, so be generous in a season like this. You want to do good things. You want to sow good seeds, okay? So God bless you. Hold somebody's hands. No, don't hold anybody's hands. All right, close your eyes as I pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful opportunity. We are blessed because we gather to listen to you. I know souls are saved. By the time this COVID-19 is over, I know many souls will walk into the house of the Lord. Let that be our story and our testimony after the rain. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next time.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.